Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10, I want you to find verse number 17. Luke chapter 10, find verse number 17, if you would please. Young people, I want you to listen now. It's not talking time, it's listening time. Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. Stand with me, if you would please. I'm going to read four verses to us. Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. Let me remind you, the title of the sermon is this: Power over all the power of the enemy. Power over all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we talk. I pray, God, that I'll help someone tonight. Lord, you can do something supernatural in this place. We don't always see what you're doing, but you are bettering us, you're changing us, and you're helping us. I pray again tonight that you would accomplish something in our hearts and in our lives and in the life of our church. Please, Holy Spirit of God, help us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church has a healthy spirit. That's not hard to recognize. People come into our church and they say, boy, the people want to be here. They like being here. I would tell you this, and part of that is I do preach sermons and work on our spirits. I think our attitudes have a lot to do with the healthy attitude of our church. Now, the sermon is called Power Over All the Power of the Enemy. Lest you misunderstand, this is not a magic wand type of a sermon. Sometimes people hear about getting power over the power of the devil and they think, wow, is there something that he's going to tell me so I can conquer the devil? Well, I am going to tell you something, but I can't hand you a magic wand. If you want to be successful, there are some practical things that you just need to do to be successful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could send his angel down in the night and that angel could come into our bedroom and spread powerful, spoofful dust all over the place, and we'd wake up the next morning and we would have power over the devil? The only problem is no spoofful dust, no angels. It's not going to happen that way. But God did give us the Bible, and the Bible tells us what to do, and God gives us some spiritual sense on how we can have victory over the devil. In this passage of Scripture, it was written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul said this in verse number 19. Let me read it to you again. It says, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When we hear it's talking about, notice he said that we can tread on serpents. Now, when I think of the serpent, I think of old Smutty Faith. I think of Lucifer. I think of the devil. And we can walk, it says, on serpents. Now, I want to point something out to you. I don't think there are any words in the Bible that are there by accident. He said on. In other words, he was saying we can get on top of this thing that could get us down. I could call this sermon How to Stay on Top. I'm not. I think it's fancier to call it Power Over All the Power of the Enemy. The enemy. What's the enemy? Well, of course, the enemy's the devil. But the enemy's anything that could get you down in your spiritual life. And it said, he said, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Boy, that word nothing is a big, big word. Nothing sure includes a lot of things. And listen to what else it said. Nothing shall by any means. Wow. Huh. God, there are things that God can give me so I can get on top of that which could get me down. And nothing, none of those things, shall by any means hurt me. Folks, I think we have been given the power to stay on top spiritually in our lives. We need to live above our circumstances. You hear me say this from time to time. It's worth repeating. Someone will say to me, they're going through a tough time, and they'll say, but Pastor, you have to understand, under my circumstances. Now, here's what I'd like to recommend. Get out from under your circumstances. If your circumstances are the snake, God said, I'll give you the power to walk on snakes. Now, you do understand if you're walking on a snake, you're on top. It's under you. And so be careful that you're not under the snake. Don't get under that negative. We can walk on top of things that could get us down. We can walk above the things that are below our spiritual dignity. The poisonous things of life do not have to bite us or get us down. You should want to have power over the power of your enemy. For your own personal sake, you need to use that power over the power of the enemy. For your family's sake, use that power that you have over the power of the enemy. For God's sake, for the church's sake, use the power that you have over the power of the enemy. I am going to make a handful of observations, and I'm going to tell you what I think will help some of you to get on top of some of the things that you tend to get under. We have power over the power of the enemy. He said we're going to walk on snakes, not among them, not underneath them, not beside them, on top of them. There is a teaching that's going on here in the scripture about getting one up on things. Now, again, I'll remind you, this is not a magic wand sermon. This is not an angel spoofled us sermon. I'm going to say some things to you, and I'm going to tell you how you can keep yourself on top of the snakes of life, if you will. On top of the things that could get you down. If you have a hard time with your attitude or your spirit, if you'll listen to me, I'll give you some things that will encourage you. And now, it will help you to help you. So you're not under that snake, but you can get on top. And you can walk on the snake that could hurt you. For instance, number one, don't spend a lot of time with negative people. Just don't spend a lot of time with negative people. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, idle talk leads to negative talk. And I'm just going to tell you, there are some people that spend way too much time with negative talking people. And look, if you spend time with negative talking people, it will get you down. And if you say, I would like to walk on some of the snakes of life, then to do so, I would recommend that you don't spend a lot of time with negative talking people. I think you need to be polite and move on. Negative talking people will get you down. So, listen. If you know someone, and I'm not talking about just in personal conversation now. I'm talking about if it's texting. I'm talking about if it's through email. I'm talking about through Facebook. Some of you, you depress yourself. You know that when you go to Facebook, that's a negative talker. You begin to have an exchange and you woke up and you were in a pretty good mood, but it didn't take long until they knocked that right out of you because of the negative exchange. I don't know if you know, but your attitude and your spirit are pretty important. If you don't want to have a bad day, then do what will keep you from having a bad day. Talk to Jesus first. He's not a negative talker. So, if you want to stay on top, don't spend a lot of time talking with negative people. Then, number two, it's kind of connected to number one. If you're forced to spend time with negative people, control the conversation as much as you can. I said, if you're forced to spend time with negative people, control the conversation as much as you can. The Bible says in Matthew 10:16, be therefore wise as serpents. Well, there's the serpent. And we're talking about walking on the snake. And now there, I think it would be wise. You say, Pastor, there's in some cases, I can't get away from some negative talking people. I think there are people in here, you go out to work and you must work around people that are just negative talkers. It's hard. And you have to have your job. We know that. You can't just quit your job. You've got to have your job. Well, if you're going to be stuck in the presence of a negative talker, do what you can to control the conversation. Look, if the negative talker, there is a topic that they're negative about, won't you use enough sense not to bring that topic up? Don't bait an idiot. If you bait an idiot, they'll take the bait. And then you'll be miserable because you're in the presence of an idiot. I like that. Look, hey, listen, if you have to be around a negative person, decide ahead of time what topics you'll converse with them about. When I'm around negative people, I try my best to be in control of the conversation, then I can lead it so we can talk about positive things or good things. Talk about the Bible. Now, look, sometimes you're stuck, and I know that. And there are people in here, you have to sit by somebody at school, or you have to be at work around somebody. And I understand that. Now, let me tell you who I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for the people in this room that live in a home with somebody that's negative all the time. You can't walk away and leave your family. You can't walk away and leave your husband or leave your wife. You can't walk away and leave your parents. But to me, it's a travesty that people have to struggle all the time living in a home where there's negative talk. Don't do that to each other. You say, well, my wife's in a bad mood. Did you put her there? Be careful now. So, if you want to have power over the power of the enemy, God is saying get on top of some things. Now, the way you can get on top of things is don't spend a lot of time with negative people. And if you must spend time with negative people, try to control the conversation and use some wisdom when you're around them. Number three, if I were you, I would shield yourself from negative books and negative CDs and blogs and articles and those type of things. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:11, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. Now, let me tell you all something. If you go to negative sources and you fill your mind with things from negative sources, then it's going to pull you down. It will just flat out pull you down. And so I would recommend that you're very, very careful with that. If you want your spirit, if you want your attitude to remain strong, don't spend time reading and filling your brain with things that weaken your attitude or that weaken your spirit. So shield yourself from negative books and CDs and blogs and articles and whatever other social media is out there where there's negative communication. Because if you go to, I think sometimes we go to it and people like to tantalize themselves a little bit to find some juicy gossip or something. But I'll tell you what, you'll get yourself down. And I've watched people go into it knowing they really shouldn't be reading the junk. And before long, they've got themselves depressed. They're ready to quit on God and quit on church and quit on everything because they allowed something negative to tamper with their spirit. Do you know that God gave you an attitude? He expected you to keep it healthy. God gave you an attitude. He expected you to protect your attitude. And so shield yourself from the negative sources of life. Number four, sing and listen to godly, happy music. If you want to be on top, if you want to walk on the snakes of life, if you want power over the power of the devil or power over the power of the enemy, music is powerful. The devil loves it when you've got the bad music. Why? Then he's got power over you. There are folks in here, you struggle with your emotions a lot. Can I recommend something? Your music will mess with you. It will mess with you. It will get you down. But if you want power over the power of the enemy and you want your attitude to stay on top, the Bible says, Psalm 40 verse 3, it says this, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." And what God is saying is, somebody gets saved, their music changes. He put new music in your life, in your home, in your car, in your telephone. He put new music in. And good music will keep you on topside. Good music will keep your spirit up. And though you don't even know it, you can listen to bad music and you may think, boy, that makes me happy. How should things that are contrary to God, how can they really make you happy? They must be appealing to your flesh. So it makes your flesh happy. Now, are you to walk in the flesh? Are you to please your flesh? Is it life all about the flesh? No, it's all about the spirit. So you've got devil happiness is what it is. Well, that's not how you're supposed to be happy. And that'll turn around and bite you someday.
Yes,
you're not on top. You're under when you're listening to the wrong kind of music. So, here's what you do. Hey, choir members, I'll tell you what. What a bonus. You go to a choir practice and do nothing but sing about Jesus and God for an hour straight. You said, well, preacher, we're doing that to give specials in church. Well, you are, but I'll tell you something. You're helping yourself. Parents, if I were a parent, I would have my children in the kids' choirs, the teen choirs, every time we had choir. Why? For 45 minutes, we are strengthening their spirits. We're giving them good music to oppose the bad. We are strengthening their attitudes. So, sing and listen to godly music. It will help. This is one of the things that God's given us, so we have power over the power of the enemy. Then, if you want power over the power of the enemy, look for people who have problems bigger than yours and try to encourage them. If you want power over the power of the enemy, look for people who have problems bigger than yours, then encourage them. My life's verse is Galatians 6:2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." One of the things that helps anybody to get on topside is getting their eyes off of themselves. If you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on somebody else, it will get you out from under your circumstance. It will get you out from under that negative pressure that you feel. Help others to have power over the power of the enemy. So, you say, I've got this burden, I've got this heartache, I'm being crushed by something, I'm under it. You say, I want to be over it. I want to get on top, if you will. I want to be on top with my attitude and on top with my spirit, okay? Find somebody that's got bigger problems than you and go help them. I will guarantee you, it will help you. It won't be long. You'll be forgetting about some of the pressures in your life because you're busy helping somebody else. It's just the whole Bible's all about helping others, helping others, helping others. So, again, look for people who have problems bigger than yours and encourage them. Number 6, don't spend too much time talking about your problems. Don't spend too much time talking about your problems. Now listen, let me explain something. If you have a problem, and you wake up on Monday morning and you say, I have this problem. You take a moment and you look at it and you study it and you voice it. I have this problem. Let me pick something, and this doesn't depress you, but I'll say it. There's not enough air in my tire. Okay? So I woke up Monday morning and there was not enough air in my tire, and I looked at it and I said, there's not enough air in my tire. Now can I tell you something? Every 5 minutes, I say, there's not enough air in my tire. There's not enough air in my tire. There's not enough air in my tire. And then you text me, and I text back and say, good morning, there's not enough air in my tire. And my phone rings, and you call. I say, good morning, there's not enough air in my tire. 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 You have not added one bit of air to your tire, but you've depressed yourself. And you're digging a hole for yourself because you talk about it over and over and over and over again. Talk's cheap. And there are people that depress themselves because all they do is think about and 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 go over it and rehearse it and make it worse and worse. Embellish it all you can so you can justify not moving forward for God. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 26:2, I think myself happy. He said, there's not enough air in my tire. If I woke up tomorrow morning, I could think myself happy about that. You say, how? I get up and say, not enough air in my tire. I'd happy. I'll go down by Todd's. See Todd. Get a free cup of coffee. You guys have free coffee? Amen. Everybody here, go by Todd's and get a free cup of coffee tomorrow morning. Hey, I could think myself happy. There's not enough air in my tire. You know what? Probably, though, there's still air in it. And the other three aren't flat. Paul said, I think myself happy. Folks, if you can think yourself happy, then you can think yourself sad. If you spend too much time thinking about your problem. Hey, listen, has it occurred to you that you could have a problem and yet stay on top? Some people entertain depression. They like it. I don't know why. But they'll think themselves into a rut. And some of you will understand this. They'll think themselves into the dark hole. Once they get there, they're sorry they're there. They have a hard time digging their way out. But listen, spending too much time thinking about your problem. Remember, thinking about the absence of air in your tire does not put air in your tire. Pick your problem. God wants you to use your mind to help you. Let me go on. I would say, number 7, be alert to serve people. Be alert to serve people. Now, a moment ago, I said, my point number 5 was looking for people that had problems bigger than yours. Now, that's not what I'm talking about with number 7. Number 7, be alert to serve people. Luke 22:27 it says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus was a servant. And I'll just tell you something, folks. If you want to stay on top, keep looking for opportunity to serve. I think people that are serving people are often happier people. When you're serving, when you're doing things, and again, I want to say others, but there's something about serving that makes you like Jesus. And believe me, Jesus is on top. He has power over the power of the enemy. He's not under the circumstance. He's on top of the circumstance. And servants find themselves on top. They're on top. And I think that's because God rewards service. So, be alert to serve people. Serving people is one of the ingredients that will help your spirit. If you're the kind of person that it seems like people are always serving you, but you're not busy serving others, you probably will end up with a spirit problem, an attitude problem. You'll get under things. So, be alert to serve people. Serving Christians are happy Christians. Let me remind you what I said. Don't spend too much time with negative people. Secondly, if you're forced to be with negative people, try to control the conversation and plan good things to discuss. Thirdly, shield yourself from negative books, CDs, blogs, articles, all of that. Fourthly, sing and listen to good music. Fifthly, look for people that have problems bigger than yours and go help them. Number next, don't spend too much time thinking about your problem. I said number 7, be alert for opportunity to serve. Number 8, have optimistic people that you can speak to when you're feeling discouraged. Have optimistic people available that you can speak to when you're discouraged. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Psalm 144, verse 14 the last part of the verse says, that there be no complaining in our streets. Then it says in Psalm 144, verse number 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I want to talk about my mom for a second. My mother is honestly one of the sweetest, most positive women I've ever met in my life. I am not sure I've ever heard my mother complain about anything. I don't think I've ever heard my mother criticize anyone. She's just not like that. She's happy. And I am 58 years of age. If life has become a little heavy on me, I could call some great and powerful preacher somewhere in the country. Say, what do you do, preacher? I call my mom. Say, why? She'll be positive. She'll be upbeat. She's not out to destroy anybody. She's not out to destroy anything. She is positive. And she's happy. And I just need a touch of that to get me over the hump. And if you've known me for long, I'm not a depressed person anyway. I don't walk around in morbid depression all the time. I work at the kinds of things that I'm teaching you here tonight. You know, I think this. I think everybody ought to have that kind of mom. Yeah. Can I call yours? Right, I understand. But I do. I think everybody ought to have that kind of mom. You know something? I think everybody ought to have that kind of dad. Listen, you may need someone that's optimistic to speak to if you're feeling discouraged. Now, let me tell you the first one to speak to. Jesus. He's a real optimist. There are people in life that I call spirit refreshers. I wrote a whole book about a wounded spirit, and I talk about people that just refresh your spirit. I have a dear friend that I've known for many, many years. His name is Rick Sparks. I wish you all could know him. What a guy with an attitude. Every day is a day of opportunity for him. I mean, yeah, if you just talk with him, he doesn't call problems problems. He calls them opportunities. That's his attitude. And listen, I think it's great if you have someone that is on the positive side of things. But let me warn you. If you don't have enough air in your tire, and you've got a negative friend that does not have enough air in their tire, and you talk to them about your tire, you're in trouble. Because two people without enough air in their tire is going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. They could also commit suicide together. Oh my? No, it's true. You spend enough time with people that are negative. Don't do that to yourself. Why would you want to self-destruct? No wonder some people are so spiritually and emotionally down. You spend time with other people that are like that. Look, find an optimist. Find someone that you can speak to when you're feeling discouraged. My mother-in-law, one of the sweetest ladies you ever meet in your life, she was a German lady. And I think I was telling my college class the other day, but I was telling somebody somewhere, or maybe I wasn't, maybe I'm just dreaming this, but my mother-in-law had sugar diabetes and she got an infection in one of her toes and it overtook her leg and they had to amputate her leg. And and she was, right before she went into surgery, she asked for a magic marker and she wrote all over her leg and told them to make sure they took the right one. But you know, the first thing that she said when she came out of surgery and she had lost her leg all the way up to the top of her thigh, she came out and everybody was just feeling for her and hurting for her because her leg had gotten cut off. She came out of surgery and said, "Don't worry, I still have one." With a big smile on her face. And I thought, what a good attitude. And your attitude is your choice. You can blame anybody you want. And that's the blame game. Everybody wants somebody else to be responsible for their attitude. You need to suck it up and take responsibility for your own attitude. Well, I wouldn't if she... Oh, especially, and men, don't go around blaming women for your attitude. You weenie, good night in the morning. Oh. Hey, have an optimist that you can get some encouragement from. Then, number 9, you probably need to plan a time to solve a few problems. Have a time where you can solve some problems. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I'm not saying ignore your problems. Look, if you ignore the fact that you don't have enough air in your tire, we're going to have bigger problems. But you may need to say, okay, I don't have enough air in my tire. I'm going to get an appointment and have that taken care of. But you take a moment and you take time to solve problems. Folks, worrying about your problems do not solve problems. Talking about your problems doesn't basically solve your problems. I'll tell you, if I want to have a good day when I wake up in the morning, I make a list of all the things that need to be accomplished in the day. What I do is I begin to solve the potential problems of the day. And it's a wonderful thing. I wake up, I take time, I make a plan. Every day of my life, you all think I'm crazy. I'm a list person. I wake up every morning, 7 days a week, and make a list of what problems I might face in the day, and I plan to solve them. Then I got a plan. And you say, what do you do? I go work the plan. I don't fret all day, and I sure don't call all of you and say, I don't have enough air in my tire. I don't have enough air in my tire. I don't have enough air in my tire. I would like all my children to be depressed on the way to school. Why? We don't have enough air in the tire. But the human race tends to be like that. As Christians, we ought to be smarter than that and stronger than that. So I'm not saying ignore your problem. Give a time to solve the problem. Get a plan and then solve the problem. It doesn't have to get you down. You now have a plan. You're going to solve the problem. You say, but Pastor, my problem's bigger than just solving it in one day. For instance, there are people here that you have financial dilemmas. Well, here's what you do. You can't solve it all today, all right? Then you sit down, you make a plan on how you will solve it a little at a time. Then you work that plan and stop fretting about it all the time. You now have a plan. Doesn't matter how much you worry about the issue, you can't solve it all at once. So get a plan to solve it a little at a time and then rest assured, have faith in that plan. You don't have to be depressed about it. I'm going to say one last thing and I'll be done. I love the scripture. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You were hoping I could teach you how to walk on snakes tonight. Well, I'm teaching you emotionally how to get on top of the things that could harm you. You got to stay on top. The last thing I'll say, point number 10, learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. Laughter is healthy. Laughter is so, so healthy. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I think Susan and I were talking the other day. She had read a medical study. And she said, Preacher, Susan's a nurse, and she said, I read a medical study, and in the study, they were talking about how laughter affects people's health in a very positive way. And I believe that, because the Bible says laughter is a medicine. Folks, some of you need to learn to smile. Did you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? Boy... learning to smile will make all the difference in the world. For some of you, hey, some of you need to learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at yourself. You say, well, why? Well, the rest of us are laughing at you. You might as well. Hey, laugh when others think it's funny. My wife and kids, they say, oh, Dad, we know your courtesy laugh. You say, what's a courtesy laugh? It's when you tell a joke and it's lame and I laugh anyway. We all do that, right? You'll never tell a joke around me the same, will you? And I've heard your jokes. So I'd rather you not. You see, thank you, Uriah. You laugh when other people think it's funny. Laughter is contagious. When was the last time you laughed until you cried? For some of you, it'd be very, very healthy for you to laugh. You may think I'm a little bit crazy, but I'll find out somebody is very, very strongly sick, maybe sick unto death. I'll go get them some funny DVD and I'll say, watch these. Watch these. You say, well, you're just trying to eat up their time. No, I want them to laugh because I think laughter will keep them healthier. It'll help them be healthier spiritually. It'll help them to be healthier physically. Sure, it would get their mind off of the problem. Folks, look, don't take life too seriously. None of us are going to get out of this alive. And it wouldn't hurt to laugh and enjoy along the way. Sometimes it's better than crying. But honestly, when was the last time you laughed? I mean, laughed hard. And I'm not talking about something filthy. I'm talking about just something in life here in church. I use humor in church. You say, why? I think it's good for people. I think it relaxes people. It helps people. I have to tell you. And I go and preach in Canada all the time. The further north and the higher you go, the less they like to laugh. I can go up into the Toronto area to preach, and you know, I like humor. I like to make people laugh. It's one of my ways to help draw them toward a truth and everything. I am plum tuckered out in one service trying to get those people laugh because they're all out there going. So you know what I do? I take it as a personal challenge. And I am doing everything under the sun. And I can tell. I mean, they're just giving me. I can tell when I'm getting them. So, I'll run that puppy until I see them laugh. And I think, all right, let's give an invitation and go home. I got old rock face just smiled. A miracle. But God gave us laughter. I think it's healthy for us. If you're having a tough time, you're having a tough time with your spirit, laugh. Help yourself laugh. Look for things that are upbeat that can help you laugh. If you need to laugh, go down to the mall. And just watch people for a little while. Or come to church and look around. You don't think God had a sense of humor? Have you looked at all the noses that we have in this room right now? That's enough to make you laugh. When God said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't think God was trying to give us a magic wand. I don't think God was the spoofle dust thing. I think God was saying, there are things you can do to stay on top of the snakes of life, or on top of the things that could get you down. I think you have to do those things on purpose. Here's what some of you think. Pastor, you just naturally have an uplifting spirit. I'm sorry, that's not true. Nobody naturally has an uplifting spirit. Some people choose to have an uplifting spirit. They've learned some things to help keep their spirit strong. We all need to learn them. I've given you 10 things that will help you to have power over the power of the enemy. I hope you'll use them to help yourself.